south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, you've heard me talk about the sad state of politics when it comes to so many clueless expat gringos down here. I mean, look, they've got Democrats abroad and Republicans abroad. What utter crap. But I suppose they serve all the many pus-headed gringos and expats without a brain. Now, since everyone's got an opinion and people almost never change unless there's some severe trauma in their life, or they find Jesus or Buddha or Krishna or Jim Jones or somebody. But as for me, I'm an equal opportunity politician hater from way back, and I'll certainly never change. The fact is, even before I was old enough and secure enough to vote with my feet, the only presidential candidate I remember voting for was Ross Perot. Now, you gotta know I get a lot of emails from people asking me to do more political commentary, but I hate doing politics. Why? Because when I see two-faced people sucking up to those maggotist colostomy bag ass wipes, well, that just pisses me off. And I do mean that in the most charitable kind of way. So anyway, what little hostile bits of political commentary that do creep into these broadcasts, they just sort of slip in because I'm pissed off at the time. So I do try to keep the political stuff to a minimum. But today, by popular demand, I'm going to talk about how Latins feel about the upcoming U.S. presidential elections, and that is an interesting subject. Fact is, you see, Latins have never been more interested in a U.S. election, of course, because of Trump. Now, we know that for a century or more, there's always been an illegal influx of Latins to the States, and politicians have just ignored it. You've heard that tired old line, illegals don't steal jobs from Americans, they just take jobs that Americans are unwilling to do, like toilets and windows and drywall and roofing and ditch digging and leaf blowing. And you know, most first world people, when polled, believe that. To which anyone with a half a brain might ask, then who did those jobs before? According to that theory, they just never got done. Now, do note that over 95% of the gringos and expats that live in Latin America are on the tourist trail, so they really aren't at all tuned in with the native Latin culture. Sure, they have a cleaning lady and a gardener and a guard at the front of their subdivision that they wave to a couple times a day, but gringos on the tourist trail don't get involved in those people's lives. They don't know their kids' names. They've never visited the little tin shacks they live in. In fact, they don't even know where they live at all. Most gringos just see their help getting in and out of chicken buses at the front gate. That's pretty much all they know of their workers' private lives. So anyway, of all the millions of expat gringos living in Latin America, probably around 95% of them just can't have an in-depth conversation with the cleaning lady because they don't speak Spanish well enough. In fact, I remember when I was in Costa Rica, there was a gringo guy in my building that spoke Spanish at a second grade level, and believe it or not, he was the go-to guy in the neighborhood between the workers and the building residents. Now, just recently, an educated Latin guy posed this question to me. He said, Johnny, do Americans really think all those millions of Latins sneaking into the U.S. every year are leaving their families and entire lives behind in the hopes of hanging drywall or roofing or doing toilets and windows? You think they're giving up their entire lives just to go to the States and work a shit job? Then the Latin guy said, you know, Johnny, you're wrong. They're not going for the shit jobs because those are exactly the kind of jobs they are used to holding back in their own country. In their minds, they're not low-class, demeaning shit jobs at all. They're just jobs that pay about five times as much as they got paid back in their home country. Then the guy said, and regarding all those immigrants trying to get to the U.S. to get on the public safety net, well, this guy claimed no one really goes up to the States just to milk the social system. The main idea is to go up and get a job and then, secondarily, milk the social system. Everyone does it, he said. He said most illegal immigrants have the same idea, to go up to the States and work a regular job. Unskilled jobs, for sure, but they pay 5 to 10 times what they pay back in their home country. He said in the mind of the average poor Latin sneaking in, there are no crap jobs in the States. Only regular jobs that pay extremely well. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah, we were talking about all those gringos and expats you meet on the tourist trail that are still in love with the American political system. And yes, they even vote by absentee ballot. What a bunch of idiots. Oh, well, in the words of Billy Shakespeare, or was it Orson Welles? No, I think it was Captain Mango. Anyway, somebody once said, "Oh, why then did the Almighty create so many sheep, if not to be sheared?" So, where do you find all those overseas political organizations? On the Gringo Tourist Trail, of course, where there are lots and lots of sheep. However, off the Gringo Tourist Trail, thankfully, there just aren't enough clueless gringos around to organize those things. So, on the Gringo Tourist Trail, gringos do coalesce and get drunk and hold on to their little piece of Cleveland or Milwaukee or Seattle in the form of organizations with familiar and repulsive gringo names like Democrats or Republicans Abroad. And you know, the funny thing is, when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail like me and you don't see many gringos, the ones you do see, you find they're not joiners. And you know, when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail for a long, long time, sometimes it's old home week when you run into a gringo. Because off the tourist trail, we do stick out like sore thumbs, you know. And suddenly, for a couple of minutes, you're like the best of friends. Like you grew up around the corner from each other, even though he might be from Maine and you're from Cleveland. Over the years, that's happened to me many times, and I can tell you this. Whatever old neighborhood conversation you have with that gringo you just met, you'll almost never talk about U.S. politics. Why? Smart expats know it's a cancer that can't be cured. And most gringos you run into off the tourist trail are well aware of that. And these days, anyway, one of the top reasons gringos are voting with their feet is because of the putrid state of American politics. Why do you think a certain percentage of gringos ends up off the tourist trail in the first place? Now, let me clarify something here. If you're down here long enough, you'll find that nearly all gringos who end up in Latin America, except for maybe the do-gooders and the Mormons that end up staying down here permanently, well, you'll find that nearly 100% of the time, gringos will first come down and check out the tourist spots. In fact, they'll usually go back and forth a number of times on vacation to decide they're going to live there or retire there. That's exactly what happened to me. Ended up in Costa Rica for around 2.5 years. That's how long it took me to see how the gringos were both improving and damaging the place at the same time. I saw how the locals got so jaded by the gringo dollar that I just didn't want to be around that kind of attitude anymore. Now, I look back and think how lucky I was to have been able to make that move way back when to the Altiplano perfect spring weather regions, which all the while I was there, I never even heard of. Whereas so many of my friends and acquaintances in Costa Rica ended up buying condos or land or building a house, whatever, and they're stuck there now. They're faced with a jaded, dishonest population, first world prices now. So in a way, they're on the same kind of treadmill they were on up in the States. A treadmill they thought they'd jumped off permanently when they came to Costa Rica. Just a warning here, don't let that happen to you. However, I do recommend expat gonna-bes and wannabes visit some of those on-the-tourist trail destinations so you can see what it's like. Only don't buy anything. Don't set roots down there. Just rent if you have to. Don't get stuck like so many gringos in Mexico, Belize, Costa Rica, Panama, with high prices, properties you can't get rid of, and businesses that are unprofitable or that you can't sell. However, I know this message will fall on a lot of deaf ears because we're all kind of gullible and stupidly dazzled when we make those first trips down to Latin America and see what the weather, the food, the beaches, and the atmosphere is like. How do you think I ended up living in Costa Rica for a couple of years? Yeah, I bought land, I had a business, I had a beach house, I had a house in the city too. But lucky enough, it was so long ago, over 20 years, that the bigger fool theory was in full gear. With plenty of other gullible gringos in great supply, everyone thinking they're getting in on the ground floor. Now, for those of you who've done some traveling, you know those first few trips to Latin America are always to gringo tourist destinations. Why? Two reasons. They're considered safe and everyone speaks English, right? And admittedly, a lot of expat wannabes and goodabies up there in Cleveland think that going off the gringo tourist trail right off the bat would be way too scary. First of all, everyone speaks Spanish. Secondly, it's a completely foreign culture, and you've heard rumors that there are thieves and scoundrels everywhere. And thirdly, you'll really have to search to find gringos to talk to face to face. Now, that said, of course, there's no bigger or more expansive gringo tourist trail than Mexico. It's got over 1.5 million gringos and expats there right now. That's one big reason I try to keep away from the place. And here's the funny thing. Even gringos and expats down here who belong to idiotic political clubs, some listen to my show and get mad when I pick on their favorite thieving, lard-ass, pus-brained, two-faced, lying politicians. Whoa, try that after a couple tequilas. And again, I mean that in the kindest, most Christian way. Now, as much as I hate 99.9% of all politicians and would love to see them all banished to Uranus and delivered there as painfully as possible, Even so, there is value in talking about the United States political process and the elections, because the American government and politicians are forever trying to influence and buy off politicians down here. That's the way it's always been. It's all about shifting national and local Latin American policy to fit the plans of Big Brother up north, even to the point of overthrowing governments subtly and not so subtly. That's been going on since Teddy Roosevelt and the Spanish-American War. And look what happened back then with Cuba and the Panama Canal. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, since U.S. policy and politicians have been sticking their noses in Latin affairs forever, it's interesting to see the Latin media's slant on North American politics. Now, you only have to look at the billions, I mean trillions, dumped in the toilet on the war on drugs in Central and South America. Which, of course, means that local Latin politicians and governments are addicted to U.S. handouts. So, aside from the idiot expats and gringos down here who actually believe in U.S. politics and their malignant candidates and parties, those dummies who really send in their absentee ballots, you have to ask the question, especially these days, with all that crazy illegal immigration, what do the local Latins think about the U.S., its politicians, and its presidential candidates? Well, we know what they think of the U.S. in general. They absolutely love it, and everyone wants to live there. I mean, come on, you probably heard the statistic that 1 in 4 people born in Mexico now live in the U.S. How'd that happen? Which reminds me of an old joke that was going around back when I was in college. It goes like this. Why doesn't Mexico ever win any medals in the Olympics? Because everyone who can run, jump, and swims in the States already. Now, as far as U.S. political reporting in the Latin-Spanish media, as it turns out, as we approach the U.S. presidential elections, every day on the noon, 6, and 10 o'clock news, the media has a report in Spanish, of course, on the U.S. presidential race. Now, note, they speak of nothing else but the candidates' stand on immigration policy. They don't talk about U.S. presidential candidate stance on education, economy, military, healthcare, tariffs or energy, etc., etc. None of that. They're only talking about immigration because that's all that really matters to the average Latin. And you know what? The poor, lower middle class, and middle class Latin Americans that make up about 95% of the Latin population are scared to death that Trump's going to get in. They're afraid he'll really put up a guarded wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. And you know, it's always funny to hear a wealthy or upscale Latin say how he hates visiting the U.S. and seeing how so many low-class Latins have invaded it. What do you make of that? By the way, you know what the dream of all upscale and wealthy Latins is. That's to have a summer home or beach house in Miami. Yes, even most Latins with all the money in the world are extremely superficial and have very incomplete educations. Sound familiar? Been to Vegas or Hollywood lately? Anyway, like I said, unlike every previous presidential election, for the first time, poor and middle-class Latin Americans are scared stiff a guy like Trump's going to get in and shut the door. Why? Because they all, and I mean all, have friends or family living up in the States illegally, a lot of them sending back remesa money once a month. Now, I don't care how many blog sites and websites you go to or how many radio hosts you listen to up in the States that tell you, no, it's not true, Latins aren't sneaking into the U.S. to get on the social safety net. If you were to say that up north, you'd be called a racist and a classist. Well, you can bet most of these writers, bloggers, and reporters have probably never sat down with the average Latin here and asked them their reasons for wanting to go to the States. Well, I've certainly popped that question a number of times. It seems everyone down here knows someone up in the States who's got the fake license, ID, social security number, and is getting multiple benefits from the U.S. social safety net. Meanwhile, up in the States, you'll hear people in the media say all the time, Latins are flooding into the States to escape political and gangland violence. But the true story is that's down the list at number 3. Now, number 1 is the desire to work up in the States at a job that pays 5 to 10 times what they can get for the same work in their own country. Number 2 is to get that fake ID and social security card so you can get benefits from the social safety net. And reason number 3, last but not least, Latins will tell you they're going to the States because of political and gang violence. So in confidence and off the cuff, they'll tell you they're leaving for jobs and the benefits. However, in Latin TV land, when they're interviewing a poor guy sneaking across the border, he'll almost never say it's for the money. He'll say it's because of political and gangland violence. Because, you see, that's the right thing to say on TV for your 15 minutes or 15 seconds of fame. Now, I don't get it. Well, I guess I do. How come when I ask Latins why they're leaving, it's about the money, and when TV stations interview them, it's about getting political asylum and away from gangland violence? So what's up with that? Now back to government abuse and that gangland violence. Sure, poor people live in slums and ghettos. They always have and they always will, in the first world and down here in the third world. But you know, these people have every opportunity to move out in the countryside, back to the boonies where they first came from. But they won't because they've had a taste of the big city and life in the boonies is just way too slow and boring. Yes, I've heard that story more than a few times from young kids living in slums. They'd rather be poor, dirty, hungry little scavengers than live out in the boonies away from the action and be bored to death. So farming is tough and you eat pretty good, but you don't have much money. And their bored kids are the ones that migrate to the big cities, and they have no skills and therefore remain poor and downtrodden. And the truth is, no one has to really live in the slums. They could go back to the boonies and the farm country where their parents and grandparents came from, and at least eat good, but it's boring and their friends won't be there, so they won't do that. However, there's option number three, and what have they got to lose? That would be escaping to the U.S., the so-called American dream. And why wouldn't they? The average person on welfare in the States, or on an average Social Security check, makes about 4 to 5 times as much as the average unskilled wage earner in Latin America. And if you look at the minimum wage up in the States, which averages around $8 an hour, set to go up to $15 an hour in some states next year. Anyway, let's use $8 an hour here. Well, that too is 5 to 8 times as much as the average unskilled Latin American worker makes. So why wouldn't there be a rush to the border? So anyway, I mentioned that all the media in Latin America are reporting daily on the presidential primaries, etc., because the result will impact Latin society so very greatly. But they're only covering what the average and poor Latin American feels is important. The candidates stand on immigration. In fact, I'm looking at one of the biggest Latin American newspapers right now. There's a full-page spread with the American flag showing Donald Trump's head, Ted Cruz's head, Bernie Sanders' head, and of course Hillary's noble equestrian, some say canine, profile. And this comes from yesterday's paper syndicated out of the Panama News Service. This is all in Spanish, so I'll translate it. It says, Trump proposes an inhumane migration plan. And the subtitle says, while Clinton and Sanders look for migratory reform, Trump and Cruz look for deportations. And then there's a column under each of the candidates' hydrocephalic heads that outlines the candidate's platform. Okay, let's read Trump's first. It says, number one, he'll create a military brigade to deport 11 million plus immigrants. If you'll notice, it doesn't say illegal immigrants or law-breaking invaders or anything like that. You see, the Latin press almost never uses the word illegal to describe people who have snuck into the U.S. illegally. Anyway, let's move on. Number two, if elected, Trump will void any of Obama's migratory decrees. Number three, he'll void the law that says that people born in the United States are automatically U.S. citizens. Number four, he'll keep undocumented people in jail as soon as they're arrested and until they're deported. Notice again, they say undocumented, not illegal aliens or law-breaking invaders. Details, details, huh? Number five, he'll complete a wall on the Mexican-U.S. frontier and freeze any remesas transferred from the U.S. to Mexico from people who are in the country illegally. Hey, I can't believe it. They used the words illegal in Spanish, ilegalmente. Oh, I get it. It's because it's a direct quote from Trump and not written by the author of the article. Number six, he will triple the number of immigration enforcement agents. Number seven, he will order the construction of an obligatory government internet portal to be used to verify any and all non-citizens who have work visas to cross-check and verify their employment status and employers. And finally, number eight, Trump will eliminate the annual lottery that allows 50,000 Latins to obtain permanent residency in the U.S. Okay, so that's Trump's immigration platform. And here's Ted Cruz's. Number one, he'll deport 11 million unauthorized immigrants. There they go with the PC semantics again. Number two on Ted Cruz's immigration platform. He too will void any presidential immigration edicts from Barack Obama. Number four, he will automatically deport non-citizens who've been convicted of previous crimes. Number five, he too will keep captured immigrants in detention camps until they're physically deported. Number six, he'll deport people in the country whose visas have expired and were not renewed. He, too, will build a complete impermeable wall on the border of the U.S. and Mexico. Number 8, he'll also triple the number of immigration agents. Number 9, he'll immediately stop the funds and the programs called sanctuary cities, where migrants claiming political asylum are being housed. Number 9, he'll also eliminate the annual lottery where 50 million Latins get permanent residency. Betcha didn't even know that existed, huh? Oh, and by the way, when you're down here in Latin America, of course, the internet's in Spanish. Yahoo, Gmail, whatever. Those internet services will recognize where your IP address is coming from and immediately switch all your surfing attempts and pop-up windows to Spanish. Of course, you can click a box to get it back in English again, but that's up to you. But the point is, you see, as you're surfing the net in Spanish, if you so choose, every once in a while, a little American flag will pop up and you click on it and you'll find that's how you enter the U.S. visa lottery they're talking about. Seems like everyone who has a computer connection down here knows about it. They enter and enter often. I repeat, that's a lottery only Latins can enter that awards 50,000 legal U.S. entry visas a year. I know it sounds crazy, but nothing the U.S. government does surprises me anymore. Anyway, let's talk about Hillary's immigration platform. Number 1, she says she'll start a congressional project to reform immigration laws. Number 2, she'll preserve Barack Obama's immigration dictums and give temporary residency and temporary work permits to 5 million working aliens that are known to be in the country without documents. So now they're aliens. Well, where'd they come from? Zeta Reticuli? Number 3, she'll create a new program that authorizes protection against deportation for people without legal documents. Number 6, Hillary says she'll only deport undocumented people if they're a menace to public safety and security. What the hell does that mean, and who determines it? Her husband, Bill the Pervert? Himself a menace to public safety? Then, she says, she will no longer detain families that have been in the United States without authorization, as long as they're not a menace to the security of the public. Gee, could she be a little more nebulous? Number 8. She will close all immigration detention centers and let them remain in the country to report to the court system on their own recognizance. Yeah, right, that'll work. And finally, Hillary says she'll permit unauthorized immigrants to have government-sponsored health care, education, medical and catastrophic insurance, and general access to America's welfare and family assistance programs. And that's why everyone in Latin America, except the upper middle class and wealthy, just love Hillary. And when she gives them the vote, even if they don't speak English, they'll be voting Democrat. However, as I mentioned before, the Latin upper classes don't like Hillary. Why? Because when they fly to Miami to go shopping or buy a condo in South Beach, they don't want to rub elbows with the sweaty masses that remind them of back home. Not to mention they're embarrassed by their own third world roots and negative Latin stereotypes that the poor people perpetuate. It seems the Latin upper classes really do have a social inferiority complex. Okay then, how about Bernie Sanders' platform? He wants Congress to pass new immigration reform laws. Number 2, he says he wants every illegal alien in the country to immediately have naturalization papers, as long as they haven't committed a violent crime. Number 3, he says he will expand on Obama's immigration policies. He'll authorize any illegal who's been in the country since they were a kid to be immediately naturalized too. Number 5, he'll open all the detention camps and release all undocumented immigrants who are not a security threat to the public. Oh, and you're going to like this one. Number 6, he's going to permit the return of all immigrants who have been deported. And how about this final one from Bernie? He says he will not only maintain the annual 50,000-person permanent U.S. visa lottery program, he will greatly expand that lottery. Okay, so there you have it. Well, and here's something you probably don't know. The ex-president of Mexico, the corrupt, narco-connected Vicente Fox, made an international TV broadcast all over Latin America last week just to hammer on Trump. He called him a devil, crazy, the Antichrist, etc., etc., and said if he's elected U.S. president, it will be disaster for all Latin Americans. Now, you have to see how strange that is. An ex-president is allowed to slam and diss a U.S. presidential candidate on an international television broadcast. Now, think if that would have happened in the U.S. Suddenly, all your network TV broadcasts were interrupted by either Bush, Carter, or Clinton, and they suddenly went off on a rant about some presidential candidate in another country. saying he's crazy, calling him names like Satan, Devil, and the Antichrist. Now, if you would have seen that broadcast, you would have thought that Vincente Fox was the madman. What a stupid-ass thing to do. Anyway, I'm sure you've all heard that the Pope's been going around the world dissing first-world governments that won't take in refugees and illegal immigrants. That seems to be his new cause these days. That said, did you know there's three countries in the world that have a zero-tolerance immigration policy? They allow no one to be naturalized or get permanent residency or to get a passport unless they have millions of dollars to contribute to the economy. And those three countries are Switzerland, Monaco, and the Vatican, Mr. Pope. I mean, come on, who is he to go around the world telling everyone they're committing a sin if they don't let in refugees and illegal aliens when his country, and it is a country, you know, the Vatican, allows no one to immigrate? And by the way, he's the authoritarian dictator of that country for life, don't you know? After all, it's not a democracy or a republic. The people don't get to vote for their leader. A group of stodgy, smelly, wrinkly old privileged cardinals get to do that. Okay, on that pleasant note, I'd like to remind you that my July 2016 Expat Insider Seminar is officially on. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's July 2016 Seminar on the top of the page for full details and sign-up info. And if you sign up before May 1st, you'll get a $500 per person early bird discount. Oh, and by the way, for past seminar attendees who'd like to be repeat offenders, if you come back again, you'll get a $1,000 discount. Yes, we've had many repeat offenders, and it's only fair they should get a nice discount, too. Oh, and of course, if you come down as two people sharing double occupancy, you get a $1,000 discount automatically. So do check out the main page link at www.thenewexpat.com, or just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you a link. Oh, and one last thing. For all of you coming down to the seminar, you'll be a long way from home. You'll certainly want to add a few days before or after the trip to see some very special sites that I highly recommend. The good news is that John Galt has once again put together a very special pre- and post-seminar tour. Turns out, at the last seminar in January, John Galt offered a very special tour package. His side trips were so successful and got such rave reviews that he's decided to do it again. So I really urge seminar attendees to sign up for one or both of those trips. All the information will be coming soon, so don't worry. The seminar is about 3 months away now, and you've got a month to sign up and get the early bird discounts. By the way, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.